Father, we thank you today that you are God Almighty, and all of those who would defy you or even your people stand in grave danger. We pray today that as your people, we will not be intimidated by the enemy, either by the things that he tries to speak into our ear or into our minds, or by those that he places in front of us to oppose. Dear Lord, that our strength would be in you, that our focus would be on you, O Lord, and that we would triumph in you. So we pray today, give us the simple faith of a shepherd boy that we might take out Goliath in our own lives and help others around us to do the same. We pray now that you would take your word and use it and apply it according to our need. And these things we ask in the name of our champion, the Lord Jesus Christ, who overcame everything and has sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. In his name we pray. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Well, it seems like no matter where we go, there are a lot of bullies in the world. And there were bullies in the time of David as well. The issue is not, are there going to be bullies? The issue is not, will you and I encounter bullies? The issue is, how will we respond when we face bullies? And from a spiritual point of view, I can guarantee you that the enemy will always make sure that there's a bully in our life. Somewhere, somehow. It may be a person, it may be a circumstance, it may be a habit too hard for us to break on our own, but the enemy will always make sure that there's a bully. And if there is any lesson to be learned at all from this lesson here from Goliath, David and Goliath, the story that we know well, it is that God's people are not to be intimidated by the bullies that Satan puts in our pathway. Now let's review just a little bit. We know the Philistines were the main enemy of the nation of Israel and the strongest enemy and the most proximate enemy during the time of King Saul, which is this time, and also during the time of David. David would later become king, and he would decimate the Philistines, and he would bring them under control better than they had ever been under control, so that then by the time of Solomon, there could be a time of relative peace. He literally beat them down again and again and again. At the time of this story, it is that time of year, and it was almost a yearly occurrence, and the army of Israel would come out, and the Philistines would be out there. And in this case, one camp was on one hillside over here. The other camp was on this other hillside over here. There was a brook that ran down in the bottom, separating them. And every day they were coming out and they were doing their show of force. Every day they were coming out and they were marching and they were doing their exercises. You know, the psychological warfare that goes before the real warfare. And both of these armies were doing this every day. But then something happened that kind of put a chink in everything and changed the equation. One man, about 9 feet tall, very imposing, hardened from battle, the spearhead, 600 shekels. I think I read somewhere that's about 15 pounds, just the spearhead. This guy with his armor bearer, he comes out every morning. How many have ever heard these professional wrestlers on TV taunt one another? Okay, this is Goliath. And he's out there in his best professional wrestler voice. And he's saying, send me somebody that can fight with me. And if he kills me, then we'll be your servants. But if I kill him, then you'll be our servants. I defy the armies of Israel. Send me a man who will fight with me. Those Israeli soldiers were trembling in their boots. King Saul was trembling in his boots. Everybody, every morning, they'd get out there and they'd march and they'd put on their show. But in their heart, every single one of them was scared to death to go out and face Goliath because they knew they probably were no match for him, and they knew that probably they would be killed by him, and then they, the whole nation, would become servants to the Philistines. So nobody knew what to do, so it's kind of like you call a stalemate. So this silly game went on for about 40 days. This silly game went on for more than a month, and nobody would make the first move. Well, little David, he was still watching his father's sheep. I think by this time maybe he had been anointed, but nobody knew about it. And his three older brothers, because he was the baby, remember that? Three of his older brothers were down there, and they were in the army. And every now and then, old Jesse would send some supplies to his boys, and he also wanted to check on them and see how they were doing. So guess who got this task? So David's called, and David, I think he's looking forward to it. You know, David loved adventure. He never shied away from that. So Dad says, take some of this stuff and take these things to their commanding officer, and I just take them this stuff and these cheeses and nuts and whatever, and take it and find out how they're doing. So David, he arrives, you know, and he leaves his stuff, and he leaves his stuff with the person that was in charge of that stuff, and he gets on down there. And while he is down there finding his brothers, and he's in the thick of things and all of this, he's just a teenage boy at this point. I don't think we know how old David was, but he was probably mid-teens. Just in his mid-teens, and Goliath comes out and does his thing. And everybody's, you know. Now, David's reaction is totally different from the reaction of the soldiers. He's like, who is this guy? Who does he think he is? Defying the armies of God Almighty. He can't do that. He can't do that. And they were saying, well, look, whoever takes him out, you know, his family's going to be tax exempt. How many would like that? And he'll get to marry the king's daughter and all this stuff. And he said, say again, tell me again. Really? I'll take him, Mom. So word gets to Saul. King Saul, hey, there's a kid out in the camp. He says he can take on Goliath. So I don't think Saul took it serious, but he said, I want to see this kid. Bring him in. I want to see him. Anybody thinks they can take on Goliath, I want to see him. Come in. And so he starts questioning him, and David says, oh, yeah, I'm going to fight him. Isn't that a problem? He said, you're just a boy. You're just a boy. And he's a giant, and he's got a lot of military experience, all that. David said, don't worry about it. He says, I watched my father's sheep. One day a bear came. I took the bear and I killed him. Another day a lion came. I took the lion and I killed him. When I get done with him, old Goliath's going to be just like that bear and just like that lion. Because if the Lord enabled me to kill the bear and the lion, then he can enable me to kill this giant. Saul said, well, in that case, you better take this armor. That's one of my favorite parts of the story because that's a visual. I'm trying to see David trying to walk around in that stuff. Saul gives him his armor. He says, man, I can't function in this stuff. He said, I'll just go the way I am. So he did, and on the way, he stopped, and people still speculate why the Bible bothers to tell us that it was five smooth stones. Some say that maybe Goliath had four brothers. Who knows? I don't know. He got five smooth stones, and he put them in his pouch, and he went over, and he had his, you know, y'all ever seen that thing where they, did you know that I read a few years ago, the Palestinian boys still use them over there? They still do. They still use them, and they still practice with them. But anyway, and we know the rest of the story. Now, this is one of my favorite passages anywhere. When David goes out to meet him, and of course Goliath, he's just insulted. He's just incensed. You know, he's like, they send me a boy. What kind of a mockery is this? And so he's just absolutely angry, and he says, come here, and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. That's what he says. Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. So David said to the Philistine, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, Jehovah Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, without a sword in his hand. He struck down the Philistine and killed him. And then David went over and took Goliath's own sword and cut his head off and took it to Saul. Now, that's the way warfare was in those days. And let's go just look at a few of our observations here. And by the way, I'll just make this comment at that point. Warfare in those days was a very one-on-one, very upfront, very personal thing. Today, we stand at hundreds of yards or even a few miles away and shoot stuff. But in those days, warfare really was up close and personal. And let me tell you, in the spiritual realm, that has not changed. Warfare may be that way in the other realm, but spiritual warfare is always up close and personal, and it can really get nasty. All right. Number one, intimidation is one of the enemy's favorite tactics against the people of God. When we did the story of the Red Sea a couple weeks ago, that, you know, they were like hemmed in, they had nowhere to go. That describes that scenario. Last week in the story of Gideon, the enemy had come in such numbers, he just came in an overwhelming. Today's lesson is about when there's a bully. When there's a bully that the enemy has placed in our life of some sort. Something that we just can't, you know, seem to get a hold of. And intimidation is one of the enemy's favorite tactics against the people of God. And that is all this was. This was pure intimidation. He takes Goliath. Goliath is not only big in physical size. He is not only experienced on the battlefield, but he is an enemy of God. And this is the thing that David picked up on right away. Everybody else was looking at it from the military point of view. Everybody else was looking at his spear and his sword and his armor and all of that. Everybody else was hearing his impressive voice and all of that. But David picked up on the fact that this guy was defying the Lord Almighty. This guy is an enemy of not only when he defies the armies of Israel, he is defying God himself. And when the enemy picks on you and me and we are property of the Lord Jesus Christ. He really shouldn't do that because he is messing with the Lord's property. And he is messing with the Lord himself, really, when he messes with us. And that is something that we need to understand. I'm nothing in and of myself, but I am a child of the King. Are you a child of the King? But the enemy knows he can't touch me without the Lord's permission. But he will try to bully me, and he will try to intimidate me, and he will put all kinds of trash into my head if I let him and tell him that I can't and that I'm not worthy and that I'm this and that I'll never beat this and that I'll never get past this. And he'll tell me all of that stuff if I'm willing to believe it, because that he can do. And it's up to us whether we let him. Intimidation is one of the enemy's favorite tactics against the people of God. Number two, the enemy is good at putting on a really impressive show of force and talking a lot of trash. And that's what bullies do. And that's what the enemy does when he is in the bully mode. And so many of the battles that we fight as believers are right up here in our head because the enemy knows something. I'm nothing, I say, within myself. But in the Lord Jesus Christ, I can fight any battle. It says in all these things, we are more than conquerors because of him who loved us and gave himself for us. There is no battle I cannot win. There is no task I cannot tackle and perform in the empowerment of the Lord. But the old enemy will get out there and he'll make an impressive show of force and he'll tell me all the reason, you know, why I'm whipped. But here's the thing that the enemy knows. If I think I'm whipped in my mind, I am whipped. And so, if I think in my mind that I can't do it, then I can't do it. And it's not a thing of trusting in myself or having self-confidence. The world, they're always teaching self-confidence, and you can do anything you set your mind to and all of this. But that, there's some truth there, but that one's dangerous because that is self-effort, and that's what I can do. The human spirit, they say, watch out for those words when you hear them. The human spirit, the strength of the human spirit. The human spirit outside of the Lord Jesus Christ is fallen and is in rebellion against God. So be careful with that one. But in the Lord Jesus Christ, anything that the Lord Jesus Christ tells me to do, I can do. Paul said, how many know this verse? I can do all things. How? Through Christ which strengthens me. I remember, Judy, you had that when your mom was sick in the hospital. You had it written there where she could see it. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. But if the enemy persuades me that I'm whipped, I am whipped. If in my mind I think I can't do it, then indeed I can't do it. And so the enemy is able, if this tactic of his succeeds, He hasn't done anything. He hasn't lost anything. He hasn't expended anything. He has just simply defeated us before the battle even started. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters in the Lord, do not allow the enemy to play that trick on you. But he is really good. He can put, old Goliath, he looked the part, didn't he? Oh, and he was. He was all that. But he's no match for the Lord, and no match for one of God's people who know who they are in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the other thing. David knew who he was in the Lord and in the Lord Jesus Christ. All those other guys, they were in the Israeli army, but they were just aware of who they were and what they could do. But David knew what the Lord could do. Therefore, the psychology did not work on him. Number three, none of us is equal to the enemy in and of ourselves in a one-on-one face-off. Now that is true. just in my own strength, just in my own logic, just in my own intelligence or abilities or whatever, I am no match for the enemy. He's been around a lot longer than I have. He has a whole lot of tools available to him that he can use, and I am no match for him in myself. But here's number four. As we confront the enemy, and by the way, the enemy will never be defeated if we're not willing to confront him. As we confront the enemy, we do so in assurance. That's what David did. But our confidence is not in ourselves, but in the Lord's deliverance. And so that's the whole thing, and that's how we face life. Not in my ability, but in the Lord's ability. Not in what I can do, but in what the Lord can do. But we do face the enemy with assurance, because we know that our Lord is with us, and we know that he has never lost a battle. Has the Lord ever lost a battle? The Lord's never lost a battle. So if I'm facing the enemy, and I'm doing it in his name and under his direction, and all of that. Submit yourselves, therefore, unto God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So there's your formula. Submit to God, resist the devil. Our problem is we don't submit to God because we want to do things our own way, and we don't resist the devil because we're intimidated by him. Submit yourselves, therefore, unto God. Resist the devil. And we might put in brackets there, in Jesus' name. Not in our own strength, but resist him, and he will flee from you. You see, the big difference between David and those soldiers is, in those soldiers' mind, Goliath was big. And God was small. Or else far away. But with David, God was big. And Goliath was just a trash-talking enemy of the Lord that needed to be taken out. And so that is the difference. God was big to David. They had been out there learning all the military drills and all that stuff. David had been out there singing to the Lord. He had been in fellowship with the Lord. He had been meditating on the word of the Lord. And so the Lord had been big in his life. So he's brought into this situation, and he immediately says, Who is this guy? Who does he think he is? Why does he think he can defy the Lord's army? It's a different point of view. Therein also the importance. We can get so caught up in the exercises and in the battle and all that, even in church work, we haven't really been spending our time with the Lord. And that's one of the biggest reasons why it's so important to have that time with the Lord, folks. Because if I'm not spending my, I may be in church on Sunday, and I may even attend a Bible study now and then or something like that. But if I'm not spending my time with the Lord daily, guess what happens? Remember the old saying, out of sight, out of... And so if I'm not, as I feed on the Lord's word and I spend time with him daily, the Lord becomes bigger and bigger in my life. But if I get real, real busy and tied down and I got to do this and I got to do that and I got to do the other and I'm not making the time for him like I should, the Lord starts to get smaller. And then the problems and the things around me, they start to get bigger. And before I know it, I'm in a similar situation as those Israeli soldiers were. But thank the Lord, he has the victory for us. Number five, God has never lost a battle, and he will fight for his people. So it's good to know that when I confront the enemy, I'm not confronting the enemy alone. Now, it says in another place that our battle isn't against flesh and blood, Our battle is against principalities and powers and things like that. So if there's, you know, sometimes there'll be somebody in our lives that's kind of a bully. That doesn't mean we have the license to go over there and fuss them out in the name of the Lord or something like that. But it means that we're going to submit to the Lord and we're going to fight this thing on a spiritual basis. And we're going to approach the enemy. But the enemy sometimes isn't the enemy right in front of us. It's the enemy behind the one that's in front of us. And that's the one that we're going to address. And in the Lord's power and with the Lord's help, Goliath will be taken out. There is no Goliath that can defy the Lord and get by with it. Because ultimately, who is Lord? Jesus is Lord. And so you have something in your life right now. It's just, like I say, sometimes it can be a circumstance. Sometimes it can be a habit that we just can't seem to get the better of. Anything, these are the bullies that the enemy puts in our lives. Whatever it is, it's just persistent. It's like it doesn't respond to anything because it's a bully. So we just need to take stock and say, okay, Lord, I can't confront this on my own, but I know that you're bigger than this. So, Lord, teach me what I need to do in order to see this giant come down. And as we do that, the Lord will lead us step by step. And I believe with all of my heart, there isn't a giant in your life or in my life that can't come down through the power of the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we come to you today, Lord, and we know the old enemy, he's a good talker, but he's already been disarmed, really, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Help us not to fight these battles on our own. Help us not to fight these battles in our own strength. But at the same time, let us never shy away from the battle, and let us never believe that we are beaten, because in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are never beaten. We are more than overcomers through him who loved us. We think of a man like the Apostle Paul, who was beaten, who was falsely accused, who was put in jail any number of times. And yet he says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Let us not be intimidated by the circumstances of life, which sometimes seem so big or so overwhelming. Let us not be intimidated by any kind of thing that the enemy has put in our lives that doesn't seem to want to respond to our best efforts. Let us not be intimidated by it, but let us confront it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and with your might and with your power. And Lord, the enemy will come down. He will have to come down. And one day, the biggest enemy of all is going to come down. He's going to be totally defeated. And he's going to be bound for 1,000 years while our Lord Jesus Christ sits on his throne. Oh, how we look forward to that day. But thank you that today we do have the victory in and through and by our Lord Jesus Christ. So, Lord, give us courage. Give us courage to fight these battles. Give us courage to confront the enemy and to do so in the name of Jesus, and confident that the victory is ours because we come in his strength and in his name. Now, Lord, take your word and use it in our hearts and in our lives in the days ahead, we pray, and teach us how to put these things into practice. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.